Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
We learned last week in our Bible study that sin is a con job. Satan takes the circumstances of the world and combines them with the lust of the flesh, and we are convinced that what the world has to offer us is better than what Jesus has to offer us. Even believers are buying into the lie that a life of fellowshipping with Jesus Christ and selling out to Jesus Christ all the way is boring and unhappy. Graduates, don't you believe it. You should hold on to the truths of God's Word. Now, I'm not talking about holding on to some religious tradition that is steeped in hypocrisy. Too many so-called Christians have developed man-made religion that doesn't relate to your individual struggles and battles that you face. No, I'm talking about the truth that the God of the universe has passed down to you. You have likely received it from your parents and family members. You have hopefully received it from your church. Just because something is tried and true, and just because there's truth that is ancient from God, doesn't mean it's something to reject. You need a foundation and a worldview in life. Jared spoke about worldview and the importance of that. It becomes a foundation in your life. I'm reminded of the story that Dr. Zacharias shares about going to Chicago to the Wexner Center for Art, and he was in a taxi cab, and the cab driver said, That's the new art gallery. He said, yes, it's beautiful. He said, well, they built it to where it doesn't make sense. He said, what do you mean it doesn't make sense? He said, well, there are staircases. The cab driver said, there are staircases going nowhere. There are doors that you open and there's nothing behind them. The designers of it designed it like life is all about. It doesn't make any sense. And so they built it all jumbled up like life really is all about. And Zacharias said to the cab driver, I wonder if they built the foundation that way. I guarantee you they put a foundation using the tried and true principles of building so that the building would not drift. They dug footers and they anchored that building to the ground. Now they can say all they want that you don't need rules and that life's not made up of rules and things like that, and a way to live and a passion for a certain worldview. They can say that all they want, but the truth is all of us need a foundation. And graduates and church family, we need a foundation. Amen? We need a foundation to live our lives. And I want to submit to you that the Bible gives us many examples of those that learn the hard way by experience. I want to say to our graduates, and I want to say to you and to me today, we don't have to learn everything by experience. We can learn by example. The Old Testament was written for us to learn from. You know, in 1 Corinthians it says this, now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages have come. So when we dig into the Scripture, we learn life lessons, and we can avoid some of the traps of those who we study in the Old Testament. Today I don't want to preach down to you, although you are lower right here. I don't want to preach down to you and to our congregation, but I want to reason with you today to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and to follow His Word, whatever the cost. Today we look at David, and we are reminded that he is known as a man after God's own heart. He was involved in the great sin we talked about last week, that immorality, and it did destroy much of the impact of his life. So here's the thing. Even the most powerful person on the planet could not get away with going his own way. That's my title, The Price of Going Your Own Way. The Price of Going Your Own Way. Congregation, I want you to take your Bibles and open them to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'll begin in verse 1. If you'll follow along in your copy of God's Word, I'll read from mine. It says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 'There were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, 'As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity.' Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you have taken his wife to be your wife, and you have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your own house, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of the sun, this sun. Verse 12, for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel, before the sun. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also who is born to you shall surely die. Then Nathan departed to his house." David saw this beautiful woman, Bathsheba. He asked her to come. He committed immorality. She became pregnant. And then the spider web of sin began to form around this King David. And he ended up trying to devise a plan that he would not be caught. And he ended up killing Uriah, Bathsheba's husband. He coveted his neighbor's wife. He committed adultery. And then he committed murder. And in one episode, ended up disobeying three of the Ten Commandments. And so here we find the price of someone who goes his own way. Now, in this passage, I want us to see three things about it, and we'll be done. The first thing is this, the revelation of it. If you look at verse 1, it says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David." We know that it was about a year after the sin with Bathsheba. Sometime after the baby was born, that God sent Nathan. The revelation of it, the revelation of the judgment of God upon this man who sinned. You see in verse 14 of our passage, it says, "However, because of this deed, you were given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord. The child also who is born to you shall surely die." So when Nathan came to David, it was after the child had already been born. So you think about this period of time, and graduates and congregation, you know, when we disobey God, when we're tempted by the world's trinkets and we reach out and the lust of our own life, coupled with Satan's temptations, when we reach out and take the world's trinkets thinking that it offers more, than Christ offers us if we sell out to Him. We don't know when that judgment's going to come. We don't know when it will be brought to light. But I can tell you this, it will be brought to light. We have indication that David held on to a burden. I want you to think about this. Here was David, a man after God's own heart. But yet he still acted as the king. Publicly he acted as the king, and privately he had some duties that he did. He had to keep up with his administration. He had to attend public worship. Can you imagine David knowing, sitting in the public worship, knowing what he had done to Uriah, knowing what he had done to Bathsheba, knowing the sin that he had not confessed? I want you to think about this burden that would have been upon him. And it had not been revealed yet. The price that he was going to pay had not been revealed. David held on to a burden. He had to attend public worship. He had to be involved in ordinances of worship. He had to keep up the general morality of the country. See, he passed as a pious, just ruler and an exemplary man before the people. You know what he was doing? He was doing like we do when we sin and do not confess our sin before God. He was leading a double life. Inwardly, his conscience was dull. You know, in Psalm 38, this is a psalm of David that many believe was written prior to Nathan's coming. In Psalm 38, verse 4, it says this, "For my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds are foul and festering because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long." You know who the most miserable man in Gainesville, Florida is today? It's not the unbeliever who's living a life outside of Christ, but the most miserable man in Gainesville is the believer who has Jesus Christ in his heart, and yet he is rejecting the truth of God because he knows what's right. The Holy Spirit of God is trying to convict him of the way he's living, and yet he is rejecting the Word of God and rejecting the life that Christ wants him to live. David was this way. David was miserable. He knew too much to be truly happy. He knew too much about God and God's plan and God's Word and God's rescue of him all during his life. He knew too much to be truly happy. But he was too enslaved to be truly godly. He was miserable. And he believed that he could cover the sin. "Thou art the man," the old King James. Nathan, you've heard the preacher say, Nathan with his bony finger came in and gave David this parable about this man with the little lamb who had it robbed from him from the rich man when he had a traveler. David was infuriated, and David said, "The man that has done that, he shall surely die. I will see to it." And then Nathan with his bony finger, "Thou art the man," like an arrow piercing through his side. He realizes the price is about to be paid. I just want to say this to our graduates and to all of us today. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, it says this, "Therefore do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known." When you think about the revelation of it, the revelation, the revealing of the judgment of God, the revealing of the price that we will pay when we don't listen to God, it'll happen. It will eventually happen. It took a year in David's life, but it will eventually come. Not only the revelation of it, but also, number two, the reality of it. Because in verse 7, it says, "Then Nathan said to David, 'You are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered to you from the hand of Saul. Verse 9, why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife. You have killed him with the sword of the people of Ammon. Verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house. Here was the judgment or the price that would come to David. First of all, calamity will come to your house. The sword will never leave your house. Do you know that David, in the little parable when Nathan came to David, David said to Nathan, the man shall surely die, and I tell you what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to restore fourfold, the Bible says. David said he'll have to restore fourfold what he took from that man. You know, there are four major things that happened as a result of David's sin. The price of going your own way. Number one, the baby died. Number two, Absalom killed Amnon. Number three, and that's in chapter 13. We'll get to that in our study. Number three, Joab killed Absalom, David's son, in chapter 18. In chapter 4, Adonijah was slain by Benaiah in 1 Kings chapter 2. Calamity came to his house. The second thing that happened, the reality of it, and can I say this? This is not an easy message to preach because it's a message of judgment. It's a message of sin coming to light. We don't have to live and experience all of this in order to learn that God's ways are right. Graduates, congregation, let's follow the ways of God so that we don't have to see this played out in our own lives. Calamity came to his house. And then it says, the sins were made public. Absalom rebelled against his father and took advantage of his family. Great immorality that happened in this situation. It was horrendous. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorites, says this, God's grace forgives, and this is an interesting statement, it's a powerful statement. God's grace forgives, but God's government must allow sinners to reap what they sow. God's grace forgives. But sometimes in the providence of God, in the power of God, His government causes us to reap the things we sow. Listen to Psalm 99, verse 8. It says, you answer them, O Lord our God. You were to them the God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. God is a forgiving God. We're going to talk about that. The last point is very powerful in that. But I just want to say this, that the reality of the price. And so therefore, graduates, and therefore congregation, as we think about going our own way, I want to encourage you not to go your own way, but to go the way of the Lord God, because there is a revelation of it. The price that we pay will come to bear in time. Secondly, there is a reality to it. There is a price to pay when we violate God's word. I remember when I was a youngster, I went to youth camp, and at youth camp, they gave a very simple illustration. I've never forgotten it. They brought out a board, and maybe you've heard this or seen this. And they nailed some nails in the board, and they said, these are like sins that we when we rebel against God, and they nailed these nails in this board. And they said, but the great thing is that we have a God who forgives, and so God takes our sins away. And they took the nails out of the board. They said, look, these nails are cast away. They said, here's the problem. The reason we need to go with God, the reason we need to live for Jesus Christ and sell out to Him no matter what the cost, is because even when God forgives, you see what's left in this board. There were the holes there. The reality of the price that we pay when we reject God. But number three, and I'll be done, the redemption that is with it. I love this. The redemption that is with it. You see, God is the one that initiated communication with David through sending Nathan. It says in verse 1 of our text, it says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan." Don't you know that David wanted this revealed? Don't you know? Have you ever done something wrong when you were little and you felt miserable and you were glad when it was over? You were glad when you got caught and you were glad when it was over. God is the one that initiated it by sending Nathan. Do you know that David was forgiven? That's a great truth. In verse 13, Nathan was talking to David. It says, "So David said to Nathan, 'I have sinned against the Lord.' And Nathan said to David, 'The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die.'" And I want to say to our graduates, say to all of us today, the Lord will put our sin away when we give our lives to Jesus Christ, when we repent of our sin and trust Him as our personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says He takes our sin and places it as far as the east is from the west. 2 weeks ago, or maybe it was three now, I had the chance to go and talk to our Awana kids on Wednesday night. Boy, it was exciting. And I talked to them about this. I said, "Look, here's a globe." And I said, "We're going to start going east, and I want you to stop me when we hit west." And so I got the globe, and I said, "Now here I am, I'm going east." And I started just turning that globe, and it was spinning east. No, that's east, isn't it? Okay, I was spinning it east. I said, "Now you tell me when we get to west." We never got there. Because if you go east and you just keep going east, you're just always going east. And the Bible says God takes our sin and places it far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against us forever. So we know that David could be forgiven. Proverbs 28 verse 13 says this, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." So God brings redemption with it, with the judgment. The judgment that came upon David, He brought redemption. He could be forgiven. The second thing about that redemption is God gave David another son. I want you to look in our text. Now, in verses 16 through 23, we understand what happened with the first son, the son with Bathsheba, and how he died. And David fasted, and David prayed, and David said, "I'm crying out to God for God to restore my son." And then the Bible says that the son died and David got up and ate. The servants, they said, "Why did you fast and pray? And then while the child was alive, and now that the child has died, now you up and eating." And he says, "But now he is dead," in verse 23, "but now he is dead, why should I fast? Can I bring him back again?" This talks about the finality of death. But then it says this, "I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." There was hope even in that judgment of that son dying. There was hope that that son was in heaven and he could go to be with that son. But God gave David another son. In verse 24 it says this, "Then David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and he went into her and lay with her, so she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet, so he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord." The word Solomon means peaceable. The word Jedidiah means beloved of the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, do you see the king of Israel rejecting God? Really, with all that God had done for him, David rejects God's ways and he commits this sin. And yet, even in that, God says, "I'm going to give you another son and I'm going to love him." Jedidiah, the name given him by the prophet, means beloved of God. Folks, we have no excuse. We continue to mess up. We continue to sin. We continue to do the things that we should not be doing. Even as believers, we sometimes, and we reject His ways. And yet we have a God of mercy, a God of redemption. And so we see that God gave him another son. Can I tell you this? We see in redemption that God even used David again. Some of you are like me. I've messed up in certain areas of my life, and even as a believer, sometimes I find myself, like Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, sometimes I do. I'm frustrated with that. And then the devil whispers in your ear. Hear me, listen. The devil whispers in your ear, you can't be used of God. You're dirty. You're soiled. You can't be used of God. God will never use you again. Do you know that David went back to the battlefield and God used David again? You know, at the beginning of this chapter, David was at home in sin. At the end of this chapter, he took his rightful place in the battlefield. Look at verse 26. Now, Joab fought against Rabbah, the people of Ammon, and he took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city's water supply. Now, therefore, gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. Verse 29, so David gathered all the people together, and he went to Rabbah, and he fought against it, and he took it. Then he took the king's crown from his head. Its weight was a talent of gold with precious stones, and it was set on David's head, and he brought out the spoil of the city in the great abundance. Even at the end of this chapter, you're talking about the redemption with it. With the judgment of God came redemption. God sent Nathan, God gave him another son, and God showed him, David, you can be used again. Sometimes we make mistakes, ladies and gentlemen. We reject the ways of the Lord. But we don't live in the past and count ourselves useless in God's work. Remember, Satan is the accuser, Jesus is the advocate. Amen, church? Jesus is the advocate. Now, this blew me away. And I'm going to close with telling you this last thing. Take your Bibles and open your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 3 and verse 31. If you're writing down notes, I want you to write down 1 Chronicles 3:5. But Luke chapter 3 gives us the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In verse 31, well, I'll just read in beginning with verse 30. It's going through it here. It says, the son of Simeon, the son of Judah, the son of Joseph, the son of Jonan, the son of Eliakim, the son of Maliah, the son of Menan, the son of Mattathah, the son of Nathan, who was the son of David. Do you know that bony-fingered prophet named Nathan? David had another son and named him Nathan. In Chronicles, it tells us the four other sons from Bathsheba. After this one that had died, after this one where Nathan came to David and said, thou art the man. Do you see the redemption in it? Do you see the fact that David, the king, had been under such conviction? There's so much in the Psalms about his repentance. In Psalm 51, we may take a look at that. It's powerful. But you look at all that repentance, and later on, he had a son. He said, I want to name him Nathan. The price we pay when we go our own way. It's steep. Don't go your own way. Because the truth of the matter is, there was calamity in David's house. It's like Warren Wiersbe said, God is a God of redemption, but the government that he has set up, there are consequences for sin. You know that. You know that. I know that. There are consequences for sin, so we avoid it. But I want you to know that even in the judgment, God gave redemption. We see the revelation of it. It's going to come. The timing, it's going to come, the judgment. We see the reality of it, but we also see the redemption with it. I want you to bow your heads and hearts in prayer with me.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.